a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate State Affairs will come to order. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Frerichs, here. Johnston, here. Lederman, here. Lucas, here. Rave, Thiessen, Olson, here. Broden.
Here. Quorum is present. You have the minutes, additions, corrections. Motion to approve by Rave, seconded by Johnson. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. A couple announcements before we get started. If you plan to testify, I would ask you to sign the roster by the front door. Also, we have a new group of pages this week, and so I'd ask you to come to the microphone, introduce yourselves, tell us where you're from.
I'm Cody Stoltenberg. I'm from Watertown.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Matt Mullen, and I'm from Baltic, South Dakota.
Welcome, Matt. A lot of Matts around here. You're in good company. Okay, if there are no other announcements, we're going to get started today. We have what looks to be a pretty substantial calendar, although I think a number of these bills will be dispatched with relatively quickly. We're going to start with House Bill 1137, which is an act to impact education in South Dakota. House Bill 1137 is now open for public hearing, and proponent testimony, Senator Rave. Granted, you can speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, this is the vehicle bill for final funding for education, and I think we're, as most of us know, getting close to finding some extra one-time dollars, and I think this would possibly be the vehicle we'd use that for, so I'd ask your indulgence to push it down to the floor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator Rabe. Any other proponents? I think we understand what this bill is about. Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Questions from the committee? Any questions? Clarification? Seeing none, we'll move to committee discussion and action. Senator Rave, motion do pass by Senator Rave, second by Senator Johnson. Any additional comments? Seeing none, the motion then is do pass on House Bill 1137. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Brown, excuse. Frerichs.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Broden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1137 goes to the floor. Do pass. Let me ask, is there anybody here that is here to testify specifically on House Bill 1161 right now? Okay. We will take up House Bill 1161, an act to establish and provide certain incentives for projects that create new jobs or promote economic development activity and to establish a rural economic development partnership program. House Bill 1161 is now open for public hearing. Proponent testimony. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Scott Munsterman, District 7. House Bill 1161 has since been put into, so to speak, Senate Bill 235 as of this morning, at least some good components of the bill. Now, whether how you would like to carry 1161 forward or not, you know, really would be up to your committee. Would you like me to go into detail on 1161 or just leave it at that, sir?
I believe that the wishes of this committee, speaking from the chair, is to move it forward, but I would like a cliff notes, if you will.
You bet.
So we can get a general idea. They've already had a full hearing in the House, but we would like to be enlightened as far as the policy and reminders of the policy contained in it. So
great. No, I'd love to do that. Thank you very much. Well, 1161 really has two primary components the first component has to do with the incentive side of it, where sales tax revenue would flow into the economic development fund and then flow out depending on the qualification of the projects for that. But what's unique to this piece of legislation is that it has to have a local effort or a local component. And so a business plan that wants to qualify as a project would first be vetted at the local Board of Economic Development. They would then pass that on to the municipality. Municipality would then, by resolution, offer their 2 cents sales tax revenue to match a state sales tax revenue of 2 cents for those projects, 20 million and less, actually for all projects. From that point on, then, the Board of Economic Development would make the determination as to the qualification of that project. For those 20 million and below projects, they would be able to give a match of 2 cents, so it would be a total of 4. If it was 20 million and above, they could do the full 4 cents or up to the full 4 cents in addition to the 2 cents municipal, and that's a piece that is included in 235 now. And so it really gives 4 opportunities, if you will, for the public to be able to have a good view of what's going on with this particular project and if it has merit or not. Another piece to this is the economic development director portion, whereby it will allow matching grant opportunities for local communities that do not have an economic development director, either part-time or full-time, to be able to go down that road, and over a period of 5 years would allow that matching grant to fade out so that community would then take sole ownership of that particular expense and of course, will help those communities in that area develop economic strategy that goes along with that type of development process. And so that's kind of the cliff note version, and I want to keep it as brief as possible, but I'll certainly stand by for more questions.
Thank you. With that, we will take further proponents. Additional proponents, 1161. Seeing none, are there opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, we will move to comments, discussion, action. Motion do pass by Senator Olson. Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Frericks. Comments on the motion? Seeing no comments, the motion then is do pass on House Bill 1161. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Brown, excuse, Frericks.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Rave. Teason.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Broden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1161 goes to the floor. Do pass. We will move now to House Bill 1165. Which is an act to revise certain property tax levies for general fund of school districts. House Bill 1165 is now open for a public hearing. Senator Olson, do you have any preparatory comments before I offer the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, typically this is a vehicle that we've had in place to handle our tax structure in South Dakota, and it may or may not have come to the end of its life, but it seems as though with your amendment there's further need for this bill, so I would ask the committee to respectfully entertain your motion.
Thank you, Senator Olson. And with that, I will take the opportunity to explain the amendment. The amendment that you have before you I'm offering on behalf of Representative Mark Mickelson. Mark was involved in a discussion on the mill levy segregation between ag and owner-occupied and commercial. And the results of that conversation were that he wanted to make I had committed as the chair of the Ag Production Task Force to address that issue in the interim. It raised a question with Representative Mickelson of whether or not we had it within the purview of the scope of that committee to address that concern. So the amendment you see before you is actually a clarification
to make it crystal clear that the task force does indeed have the authority to make recommendations in regard to that segregation of the ag mill levy. So in a nutshell, that's what this amendment does. I would offer a comment as proponent and opponent comments to that amendment, but maybe for clarification, I would first ask for a motion from the committee to move House Bill 1165 FB. So motion to amend by Olson, seconded by Senator Teason. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to amend will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. 1165 is so amended. So with that, I would offer proponent testimony on that amendment. I know that this is very short notice, and I apologize for that, but it's been kind of a work in progress. There was comments. I think Representative Mickelson was originally going to offer this an amendment to Senate Bill 28, which is over in the House. I suggested to him that it would be more appropriate to not tie that onto the active Cutler-Gabriel amendment so that they don't muck it up with additional changes. 1165, I think, was obviously the vehicle that was not being used, so thought this would be a more appropriate place to tag it on. Any public comment, proponent or opponent? Seeing none, we will go to questions from the committee. Any questions? Everybody's clear what we're trying to do? Seeing no questions, committee discussion and or action. Senator Frerichs.
Move due pass.
Motion is due pass as amended. Is it seconded by Senator Johnson? Comments on the motion?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for clarifying due pass as amended. We don't want to get into a debacle with any troubles there. It is a Monday, I guess. We'll get started. First off, Mr. Chair, thank you for your ability to bring our urban friends kind of into the fold on this and know that those of us that represent agriculture interests and those of us that are on this task force take our job very serious, because we deal with that on a yearly basis over the summer. And I'm kind of proud to say, and people ask me different times about either about our ag productivity formula, or they'll ask about taxes that are being paid, and I'll right away remind them that we have a very workable task force that examines this each year, has regular updates from Department of Revenue, along with hearing from our local county assessors, and it works very well. And so I think this is fitting to have language in there to look at that relationship between ag and non-ag, and as far as that contribution for the general fund of school districts. So I encourage the support, and as long as the president pro tem is willing to put me back on there again, I look forward to serving on this task force again, because it, again, is very worthwhile. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing no further comments, the motion then is due pass as amended, House Bill 1165. All in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, excuse, Frerichs.
Motion carries. House Bill 1165 goes to the floor. Due pass as amended. That brings us to House Bill 1212, an act to increase the expense allowance of legislators. House Bill 1212 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Representative Dave Nordstrup, District 3, Aberdeen. I bring you 1212 today to change the per diem rate for legislators. And the bill, as passed by the House, ties it to the federal IRS rate, which is currently $123 for South Dakota. And I am passing out an amendment just to somewhat clarify It's still going to be tied to the IRS rate, but it will be under $23 or the IRS rate, whichever is greater. So just to clarify a little bit. And I think tying it to the IRS rate is a good change because the IRS does a survey of restaurants and hotels to find out what those rates should be on a specific area. There's actually two rates. One is for most of South Dakota, and then part of it is also for the Black Hills, and that changes throughout the year. So it is based on local information, local data. And I guess the other thing is 22 states currently tie their per diem to the federal IRS rate. So we're not doing this just by ourselves. There's 22 other states that do it similarly. And I think this is a reasonable change because we haven't changed it for 13 years. So to go up $13 now, $13 a day is really only a dollar per year. So I think that's reasonable. And if you did adjust it for inflation, it would be just under $150. And the fiscal impact, it would be just under 65,000 session and any summer studies that we would have. So I would ask for your support of the amendment and the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, questions from the committee? We have a pretty mellow State Affairs Committee today. Seeing no questions, we'll move to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Teason.
What I meant to say is that I move Amendment 1212YA.
Second.
Thank you. That's what I thought I heard. Motion to amend by Senator Teason, second by Senator Frerichs. Senator Frerichs, was that right?
Yes.
Motion to amend 1212YA. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to amend will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. House Bill 1212 is so amended. Further action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Teason.
Now what I really mean to say is I move do pass on 1212 as amended.
I think what you really mean to say is you do pass as amended. That's what I thought.
I do.
That's what I thought you said. Do pass as amended, seconded by Senator Johnson. Comments on that motion? Okay. The motion is do pass as amended.
Second.
By Senator Teason, seconded by Senator Frerichs. Comments on the motion?
Thank you, Mr.
Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I've had kind of a long-standing position on pay for legislators in general. I understand this isn't pay, this is the expense. Pay for legislators should be somewhere between an amount that is not such that anyone would run for office because of the money, and at the other end of the scale, an amount that is enough so that ordinary citizens can afford to join the legislature. Somewhere in between is the right amount to pay legislators. Pretty convinced that we're closer to the latter in South Dakota with our $6,000 a year a pay rate. Personally, I'm concerned that we are eliminating people from serving in the legislature because of the amount of compensation that we offer. If you're not retired, if you don't have an adequate retirement income, or if your circumstances in life aren't such that some way you can support yourself additionally, then your legislator pay is going to be very hard for you to support not only yourself but a family at our current rate. So as it pertains to today's modest increase in the per diem rate, I think it's appropriate not only that we adjust it, and I think it's appropriate that we tie it to the IRS rate. That seems to me to be a fair way to do that, and by tying it to that, then we don't have to come back every 13 years or whatever it amounts to make an adjustment. So I think that's a good way to do it, and it's obviously the total is a relatively small amount in the scope of things. I think it's reasonable that we compensate legislators for their expenses based on that rate that's calculated by the IRS. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair. For the comments, Senator Johnson.
You know, I thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the comments from my colleague from Pennington County and friend, but then I also I struggle with this bill, because if you remember back in I believe the 2008 general election, there was an initiative on the ballot to do something with legislator pay. I think it was mileage, if I'm not mistaken. It failed. Then just this past November in the 2012 session, we had another ballot measure to increase legislator travel by, you know, move from a nickel, which it's been since, you know, 1889 probably. I don't remember what the date was, but I think that initiated measure failed as well. And so what signal is being sent to us that the citizens, the taxpayers of South Dakota are saying, you know, what you're doing, we appreciate the work, but what you're getting compensated for is okay. And so I just can't help but, whether it's the right thing or due to not, to pass House Bill 1212 as amended, I just continue to reflect back on what the citizens have told us these last two elections. So I'd encourage you to vote no on the due pass as amended motion from the standpoint of the message that's been sent to us these last couple election cycles. Thank you.
Further comments? Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Back in 2008, I did bring forth a bill to raise legislator salaries, and that didn't pass. It went through the House and Senate State Affairs, and then it died on the Senate floor. And it probably resulted in the right outcome, because following that, then we went into the recession. But I do think that issue, as Senator Teasen talked about, needs to be addressed. What is adequate compensation for somebody to be able to come here for 38 or 40 days out of the year and give up their pay back home for their business or occupation they may be involved in? I would rather us to look at that aspect, and maybe that's something that the executive board could look at over the summer. The reason why I won't support this today is because many of these states on this list also have prohibitions on the amount of money or compensation that they can receive from lobbyists during legislative year. We don't, and we know very, very well that the lobbyists take care of us pretty good during the time we're in peer. And if we were to raise our per diem, then I think we need to look at that, how much we should be able to take in food and beverages from the lobbyists, because that it allows for us, actually, when you consider that, to come out ahead on our per diem, and most legislators do. We do not spend $110 a day during the time we're in peer for our hotel and our food expenses. And furthermore, if we were going to go with an IRS rating, then we ought to look at that at mileage too, which is over 50 cents per mile for IRS instead of the state rates at 37 cents. So I'm going to oppose the motion.
Further comments? Any other comments? I'll use this opportunity to make a couple closing comments, both as the chair and as the Senate prime. I do disagree with both of the senators that commented in opposition to this bill. for several different reasons. I'll start with Senator Johnson, the comments as far as the interpretation of the vote of the people. I think that the interpretation is misjudged as far as what the people were voting on the nickel mileage increase. It's become somewhat of that's been enshrined in our Constitution. Obviously, when you're messing with the Constitution, it has totally different implications and a different flavor for the voters. The nickel mile, I don't think that that's realistically should be interpreted as a broad view that the legislators should be getting nothing. And in fact, if you espouse to that train of thought, then we should never address any compensation. We should continue at $6,000 a year in the current compensation, which I believe, to Senator Teason's remarks, is very exclusionary. We have put some distinct limitations on the ability of people to serve in our state by having that low of salary. To the comments of Senator Lucas, as far as whether or not that compensation is adequate, I know there are a number of people, myself included, that it does include, that does present a sacrifice. Things don't take care of themselves at home in my absence without me compensating people to take care of things. So it is a hardship, and it is a consideration. And I think that this is a very small step in providing some measure of relief. I believe, as Senator Teason spoke to, that at some point we will have no choice. Well, we'll have a choice, but as far as raising salary, if we do nothing, we continue to be more and more exclusionary of who can afford to be here in Pierre for 40 days out of their regular session. You know, the first couple of years I was in the legislature, I kind of kept track of mileage. And this is kind of indirectly, yet directly related to what this conversation. I kind of kept mileage through the year of the miles I put on my vehicle throughout the interim and session with meetings that were directly linked to the legislature. I would have been better off if I'd been paid the federal mileage rate for that year and not gotten any compensation from the state, other than just that mileage. I would have ended up with more dollars in my pocket in compensation. That, and again, I'm willing to do it. That's, you know, I volunteered for the job. But we shouldn't have policy that limits the ability of people to serve based on those that can afford to serve that are making that kind of sacrifice. So I'd urge your support of this. I think it's one small step in the right direction. Senator, further comments, Senator Fredericks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I realize you have the ability for the closing comment, but it sparked interest in your last statement from my standpoint, and not at all asking for anybody to feel sorry for me, but I spent 520 miles this weekend driving to Cracker Barrels, and that's a common occurrence for those of you that are in the, you know, west and northwest part of the state, but I mean, that's the reality that we see, and those I don't expense anywhere. Since I drove my pickup, it might be a farm expense, but aside from that, it probably wouldn't count either because I don't usually put down mileage for that. So it's something that is realistic out there, and just had to share that. But I do have to also say that the suit I'm wearing today was a Salvation Army special from Representative Heinert, so $10 and I lucked out.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is do pass as amended, House Bill 1212. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Brown, excuse. Ferrick.
Aye.
Johnston.
No.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
No.
Teason.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1212 goes to the floor. Do pass as amended. We will back up a little bit. I missed a step on House Bill 1165. We had a title amendment. That title amendment is 1160 FTB. Motion to amend the title by Senator Lucas, seconded by Senator Johnson. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. title is so amended. That will take us to House Bill 1220, an act to permit the use of golf carts under certain circumstances within state parks or recreation areas. House Bill 1220 is now up for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, honorable members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. Representative Tim Rounds, District 24, Pierre. I'm bringing you House Bill 1220, and I'm also having an amendment passed around, and I don't think I really need to address the amendment at this time, but it's a minor change in the bill. Let me first get into what the problem is. We all have issues in our constituency and our districts that may not be huge statewide, but they affect the people that you see and work with every day, the people in your districts, and this is one of those. To start off, I'm going to talk about an email I received from a gentleman who isn't in my district, lives in the northeast corner of the state. He talked about a weekend event that they had planned at one of our state parks. They had over 50 people coming to this event, and people come from all over the country. It was a reunion. Several of the people coming were elderly, a couple were disabled, and they had a picnic shelter set up. The nearest restroom was about 300 yards away, so what he had done was brought along an electric golf cart, thinking that he could transport people back and forth to the restrooms during the course of their event. The park ranger saw the cart and said, "You can't use that here." And he said, "Well, I'll buy a park pass for it, get it stickered." And he says, "You still can't use it. Electric golf carts are not allowed on the state parks." That seems to be a problem, especially in my district and the areas along the Missouri River, where a number of people have their reunions, a number of people have fishing, extended stays up at the campgrounds, and they like to bring a golf cart up to transport people to and from the restrooms, to the boat dock, to the convenience store, going to see their neighbors on the other end of the park. Today, in our state parks, a golf cart can be used, but only if it is licensed. And I'm going to refer to the section of the code where a golf cart is licensed. It's 32-2013, all-terrain vehicle licensed as a motorcycle, and that's where it falls. In order for it to be licensed, it must meet certain criteria, which includes a combustion engine having a piston or a rotor displacement of 200 cubic centimeters. Based on this, an electric golf cart cannot be used. What we are wanting to do is allow Game Fish and Parks to promulgate rules that would permit golf carts on our state parks. As you can read in the legislation, that there would be certain criteria, which would be a rearview mirror, headlights, and brake lights. I passed around an amendment which would eliminate the horn. I do believe the GF&P and public safety are agreeable to this amendment. I can just imagine the horn would be one of those cans that can slip into the cup holder, and 9 o'clock at night, kids just letting loose on that thing. It makes no sense to me. We had opposition to this in House local government by Department of Public Safety, by Game Fish and Parks. We amended the bill in its current form, at which time those two agencies turned coat and decided that they would support this legislation. We have some other people that want to testify on this, but I believe this it's an important issue in some of the areas in my district and other areas across the state, and I'd ask for your support. I would remain available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bob Schneider.
Could you check your microphone, please?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bob Schneider, and I'm the Assistant Director for the Division of Parks and Recreation.
Representative Round said, we initially, the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks initially did oppose this bill. It was broad and left a lot of questions. Where could he operate these golf carts, these motorized vehicles in a state park? Who could operate them? Is insurance required? And is there any safety equipment required? Those questions have been answered. The sponsor worked with us and came up with an amendment that we do support. And now we're down to the horn. This one amendment today, it's really a public safety issue, and we're going to defer to the Department of Public Safety on this, and they're prepared to testify, and we'll support their position. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Rob Schonsberg representing myself. I get to reside in rural Hughes County. We caught a little attention with the original version of this bill in the House. The joke was that while I was in government, Game, Fish, and Parks and the Highway Patrol did not listen to me as much as they did when we introduced the original bill. But the good news is that it got them interested in talking again, and I would say that people from across the state, not just along the Missouri River, have an interest in this. I think most of those people are just working and they couldn't be here. Otherwise, they would probably voice the same opinion to you. I would say that we obviously supported the bill in its original form in an effort to move it forward. We're fine with the amended version. And certainly if we could knock the horn off, we'd be perfectly okay with that too. Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by.
Thank you. Further proponents? I'm working very hard at resisting the urge to make some smart aleck comments, but further proponents.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Dana Svensson with Department of Public Safety. As was previously stated, we did oppose this bill in its original form when it was introduced. We did support the amendment, the current version that it's in now, and we don't have any opposition if you want to remove the horn.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none. Questions from the committee? No questions? Jokes or anything? I'm so disappointed. Seeing no questions, we'll move to discussion, comments, or action. Motion to amend 1220FA by Lucas, seconded by Senator Lederman. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to amend will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. 1220 is so amended. Further comments or action?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass on 1220 as amended.
Second. Motion by Johnson, second by Senator Lederman, do pass 1220 as amended. Comments on the motion? Senator Johnson?
It's just real brief. It's good to have multiple branches of government listening to our constituencies and bring a common sense solution to obviously a problem that's not only that's throughout our state. We promote our parks. We've got some of the best state parks in the country, and the usage of those state parks continues to go up and up on an annual basis. And quite frankly, I'd just as soon have the visitors to our state parks run around in golf carts than I would in 3/4-ton pickups. And the safety of the children and families that utilize this is paramount, and so I urge your support of 1220 as amended. Thank you.
Further comments?
Mr. Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I don't think any of our state parks or probably anywhere in South Dakota do we have any really legitimate quicksand, but if you ever want to really have the feeling about what it's like to be in quicksand, get involved in some golf cart legislation, and you'll feel the full effect of that. Because a golf cart to some people is taking grandpa and grandma down to the boat dock, and to other people it's both an annoyance and a safety hazard. And it goes both ways. What I don't want to see is the three-quarter ton pickup running over the golf cart as they both go up and down the roads of in a park, and one size doesn't fits all. I can see a golf cart moving around from the campground from your parking stall to the boat dock, but I can't see a golf cart running up and down the roads of Custer State Park. I'm supportive of this because it gives GF&P opportunity to make some rules, and I'm confident, I guess, that they'll make rules that apply to the various situations. But I just want to make it clear that I think that, as I said, first of all, for some people it's going to be a lifesaver, and for other people it's going to be an annoyance, because those golf carts that can take grandpa and grandma to the boat dock are also the golf carts that, kids can race around the campground. And I also understand that there can be serious safety hazards. Some of these campgrounds have higher speed limits on some of their roads, and a three-quarter ton pickup and a golf cart would not be a good match to meet up on one of those roads. So I'm gonna have some confidence that GF&P can promulgate rules that are reasonable in the various parks that we have, and keep the situation safe and still allow reasonable usage in certain places. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further comments? Just one brief comment in response to one comment that was made, and I thought I'd noticed it in this legislation, that the last line of the legislation says, any person operating a golf cart on such designated road shall hold a valid driver's license, to the comment about kids running around and running over people. If they're 14 year olds, they'd have to have an adult in the cart with them. Any further comments? Seeing none, the motion then is to pass as amended. House Bill 1220. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, excuse. Ferrix.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Rabe, excuse. Teason.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1220 goes to the floor. Do pass. As amended. Senator Johnson.
Would you entertain a consent motion?
Motion to consent by Johnson, second by Senator Olson. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. House Bill 1220 goes to the floor. Do pass as amended on consent. House Bill 1235, an act to continue the Regional Watershed Advisory Task Force under the supervision of the Executive Board of the Legislative Research Council in a manner to save public financial resources. Okay, this committee will stand at ease for a minute or two.
Thank you.
We'll come back to order. Back to House Bill 1225. Is now open for public, or 1235. House Bill 1235 is now open for public hearing, proponent testimony. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, and your afternoon, or just about, I guess, closing in on noon. If you didn't know, but I might be a little bit different looking than Speaker Gosch, but I'll do my best to take his. This is actually a bill from the chairman of the task force, currently for a watershed task force, Brian Gosch. He is over chairing judiciary and just asks that, you know, we explain his situation. But at the same time, I think he's under the assumption that we will have our chance as a committee to deal with this bill. The reason, even when House Bill 1235 was changed in committee and ultimately reached the destination where it's at right now, I'll admit from my standpoint, being a member of this watershed task force, I was immediately concerned, and it was something that caught me by surprise, but I also know that it was most likely, obviously, an attempt to bring some more folks to the table, or at least force some more involvement. To my best estimation, as much as I've listened to the discussion on this and heard from Speaker Gosch, his intent of bringing House Bill 1235 is to help to save some state resources, but at the end of the day, and this is my commentary, that it doesn't cost us very much to run this task force. I think last year when we had two meetings, it was under $10,000 that was spent, and so it's nothing too significant. At the same time, it's important that we have a state perspective that is as non-biased as possible when looking at these very complex issues of water management. So, as you can see before you is a bill that would say 50% of some of the costs be covered by various stakeholders. To some extent, a lot of a portion of this is already being done. For instance, when we had our meeting in Brookings, some local folks there that operate the Water Development District hosted the facility there on campus of SDSU, and they did not need this legislation to do that. And so we see that already taking place. As we look down the road and envision things where this can be, my hope, again, as a task force member, that we can actually have some very fruitful discussion this spring. Perhaps maybe June be the earliest we can get together for our first meeting. We have a lot of work to accomplish, and evidence of that is this past session when there was a few bills, one of them dealing with some engineering components and another one more strictly on the watershed side of things. And so there obviously is much interest in this topic, and at the same time we need to have strong credibility in how this will move forward. So, Mr. Chairman, I hope that it is somewhat clear that, again, I, in deference to the prime sponsor who is not listed on the bill, but the driver behind this, I wanted to share his thoughts on why he brought that forward. And again, if he happens to show up, I deal to him as well. But at the same time, from a realistic perspective, this legislation is most likely not needed, but it hopefully is enough of a sign to show that we need as many folks as possible to participate, because we have a big feat against in front of us to complete these next 2 years as a watershed task force. So the watershed task force would stay in its current form. A new membership will be appointed at the close of this session on veto day, but the actual watershed duties, Watershed Task Force, will continue as planned regardless of this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will take discussion and or action. You want Senator Frakes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to defer 1235 to the 41st legislative day.
Motion by Senator Frakes. Is there a second? Second by Senator Olson. Comments on the motion? Any further comments, Senator Frakes? Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is to defer to the 41st day, House Bill 1235. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Brown, excuse. Frerichs.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Rabe, excuse. Thiessen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Rodel.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1235 is deferred to the 41st legislative day. Well, that brings us to the end of today's calendar and also marks the end of the last bill on the docket for Senate State Affairs. I'd like to thank the committee for your work. We covered a lot of ground this year. I think probably one of the, if not the busiest docket I've had in State Affairs for a number of years. We are going to have one more meeting on Wednesday to consider summer task force recommendations. We would have had the time today, but the recommendations coming from State Affairs, I think, carry a little weight, and rather than rush into it, I'd just soon have the committee members have time to think on what they think rises to the importance to be recommended by this committee. So if there are no further announcements, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
By motion by Lucas, seconded by Lederman. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting is adjourned.